taking a look just at the way things were moving last week, one of the themes which is running through at the moment is that, you know, some of the fears around what the tariff arrangements in the United States will do in terms of global economic growth and also inflation are just changing somewhat. It seems as if the risk to growth is rather less, but we are starting to see the first signs of inflation problems coming through. And we saw that in the data last week out in the United States. We had the July CPI came out, and whilst it came in, as expected, month on month, that held the annual rate of change for the headline CPI at 2.7%. But the core CPI, once you take out the volatile items, that was up by 0.3%. And as a result of that, there was a lift in the annual inflation rate there to 3.1% from 2.9%. Now, a lot of the tariff change is still to come through, and you're waiting to see how that will impact. But we got some worrying numbers on producer prices later in the week, last week. And there, you know, the market was expecting that July producer prices in the United States would be up around about 0.2%, both for the headline and also for the core PPI. They came in at 0.9%, well above expectations. And as a result of that, we've seen a sharp acceleration in producer price inflation in the United States, where it's lifted from 2.4% year-on-year, going back to June, to 3.3% in July. And the core producer price inflation lifted from 2.6% year-on-year to 3.7%. That's the pipeline. And you know, obviously, that will feed through at some point through to the CPI. And it's not stopped yet, because obviously, this is the beginnings of the problem. When you lift tariffs the way that President Trump's been doing, you do get an inflation effect. We've also got some signs, too, that growth is holding together, although right at the end of the week we had August preliminary consumer sentiment. There was a bit of a dent in that. But, for example, we had the Empire State survey. This is a manufacturing-based survey, and it covers New York State. It's one of the early leading indicators. And it was, and this is a diffusion index, you know, it's optimists, less pessimists. So if you're around zero, you've got an equal number of optimistic firms relative to pessimistic ones. If you're in a minus figure, you've got more pessimists than optimists about the future. Well, back in July, it was on the optimistic side. It was plus 5.5. So you've got more optimists than pessimists running through that. It was expected that it would probably drop back to sub-zero. It didn't. It went up to plus 11.9. So you know, that's actually pretty firm reading and suggests that at least in New York State, we're seeing you know, some reasonable optimism about activity going ahead. Later in the week, we also had retail sales data for July. And essentially, when you allow for the revision to June, these were stronger than expected. For the month of July, we had a 0.5% increase in retail sales, and in core retail sales, we had a lift of 0.3%. But the revisions to the early to June were pretty substantial. They were already looking pretty good at plus 0.6%. For the headline retail sales figure, that was revised up to 0.9, and core retail sales were revised up from 0.5 to 0.8. So that's indicative of quite a deal of strength coming through as far as spending, household consumption spending is concerned. And in a way, that's reflected in the way in which you know, earnings reports have been going in the United States too. For the most part, they're coming in better than expected, and so you know, it's been a factor amongst others, behind why you know, we've still got pretty elevated risk-taking in U.S. investment markets, yeah, notably in the stock market. Now, right at the end of the week, we had the August preliminary consumer sentiment survey. This went slightly the other way. So we you know, were at 61.7 going back last month. We came down unexpectedly to 58.8, so a little bit of a slippage there. inside this survey too, we also get inflation expectations, and they're actually going back up again. So the 1 year and 5 year inflation expectations in this survey, if you went back a month ago, the 1 year inflation expectation was 4.5% of where, you know, consumers expect the CPI to be, you know, in 1 year's time. That actually lifted to 4.9%. And the five-year inflation expectation lifted from 3.4 to 3.9. So you've got this really mixed bag in the United States, and it's doing better than you might otherwise expect in terms of economic growth. But yeah, we're starting to see the beginnings of an inflation problem coming through. You know, you've got hopes in the market that maybe the Fed can get towards interest rate cuts, but you know, none of this data is really pointing that way. It's sort of suggesting that, if anything, the Fed stays on hold. And if it does, of course, that means that you're going to get a mighty clash between the Fed and the administration, who would dearly love to see interest rates a lot lower than where they are currently. This week in the United States, we have... there's a few things to watch out for. We've got largely housing statistics coming out. Maybe some of these will be a little bit soft, although we get the August National Association of Home Builders Index comes out later today, and that one's expected actually to rise slightly to 34 from 33. But then we get on Tuesday building permits, housing starts. They look a bit soft. So we're looking at building permits probably down 0.2% after being down 0.1% the month before, and housing starts, which had a good lift going back to June, up 4.6%, expects to be down about 1.5%. We'll get the Philadelphia Fed survey, and this one down that Philadelphia area was looking pretty good last month. It was plus 15.9, but the market thinks that'll come back to around about plus 5.9. And also we'll get later in the week the big central bank meetings at Jackson Hole, which they hold every year. And we might hear something about how monetary policy is being organized coming out of that. In particular, people will be listening to Jerome Powell when he speaks at that conference later in the week. In China, we had some data last week, and it's mostly weaker than expected. So China's got some work to do to really keep its growth rate up. We going back last month, we had slightly better data, but the data we got this week doesn't look so good. We got July fixed asset investment spending. It was at 2.8% year-on-year going back to June. It was expected to hold around that. It didn't. It came down to 1.6% year-on-year, so it's a bit of a slide running through there. Industrial production, same sort of story. It was at 6.8% year-on-year going back to June. It was expected to be around 6. It came down to 5.7% year-on-year. And importantly, retail sales. This is the one that they've really got to get moving, and because it's got to offset all those pressure points which are going to hit China from the trade account, because obviously their exports are going to be under threat with what's happening with tariffs around the world, and the fact that fixed asset investment spending, what they usually tend to ramp up, is still beset by the problems in the property sector. They've really got to get their household sector confident and spending. That's a really difficult task. It needs a lot of policy adjustment. It's not happening, and as a result, we're seeing annual growth in retail sales actually slipping. It came back from 4.8% year-on-year to 3.7% year-on-year. That was way weaker than expected, and so some signs that the Chinese economy is starting to show some pressure. In terms of house prices, still negative on a year-on-year basis. It's slowly not as bad as it was. That's the best way you can describe it. House prices were down 3.2% year-on-year. Going back to June, they were down 2.8% year-on-year, month of July, but still down. And the unemployment rate ticked up as well. Ticked up from 5% to 5.2%. That's an unusual rise to be admitted to by Chinese authorities. So some pressure just sort of building through China there, where there's some weakness coming through. People's Bank of China meets this week. What you should see in China with the type of data they're getting, which shows vast amount of excess capacity, you know, no inflation, you know, you should be having, you know, aggressively easier monetary policy, but we're not seeing it, together with aggressively easier fiscal policy, but not aimed at building dams, but sort of helping to lift social income and give some confidence back to the household sector. Not happening. And so People's Bank of China, if anything, is going to leave their interest rates unchanged this week. And, you know, 3.5% for their deposit rate. It's going to stay at 3.5%. Inflation rate's 0.4%. You know, it's a very high real interest rate, and is not what's needed to really help. Moving to Australia last week, and, you know, obviously we had the RBA meeting. We also had a lot of data as well that came out. The RBA meeting, they did cut, as was widely expected. What was less expected, I think, was that, you know, they've become more confident about their inflation forecasts. And we also had the quarterly monetary policy statement came out. It showed those forecasts. They literally didn't change their May forecasts of inflation, which show, you know, a base effect blip upwards in inflation to around the 3% mark over the next 12 months, then coming down right to the middle of the 2 to 3% band, and underlying inflation in that near that middle of the 2 to 3% band throughout the next 2 years. Why have they become more confident about their inflation forecasts? Well, they've actually revised down somewhat their growth forecasts, and they're now saying that economic growth can manage no better than 2% over the course of next year. And that's largely down to the constraint from very little productivity change. The only problem is demand doesn't respond that way. Sometimes you can get a surge in demand, and that appears to be what's happening at the moment, not reflected in these Reserve Bank forecasts. So still have some difficulty with what the Reserve Bank's forecasting. But if you took them at face value, it means that very slowly they can continue to lower rates. And you know, on their forecast, they could potentially get down to 2.85% for the cash rate in about a year's time. No quick moves, even on their forecasts, but a continuation. You know, I think what will happen is the data will sort of hijack that over the course of the next few months. And already some of their forecasts are looking a little bit precarious. And that came out with the data last week. So, for example, they need wages growth. On their forecast, they've got wages growth, which should be down to 3.3% year-on-year now, and then moderates to 2.8-2.9% over the course of the next 2 years. Well, the wage price index came in at 3.4%, so already their first forecast is out of the ballpark, and wage growth is running higher than they forecast even last week. And I don't see that really changing much. I think they're going to sort of have a problem with wages growth over the course of this next period. And also we had the labour market data. It should be up at 4.3%, the unemployment rate. Well, it was, but it came down to 4.2% with the latest data. So the labour market is looking a little bit tighter already than the forecast they've got there. And I do feel that their growth forecasts are definitely on the low side, because there's a lot of evidence that housing activity is not just buoyant, it's booming at the moment. And also we're seeing more evidence of lift running through household spending, which will make growth rather stronger than their forecasting and those forecasts they brought out last week. The time being, you have to take them at face value. That's obviously where they're looking at things, but I think this was likely to get hijacked as we go a little bit further forward. Then this week, well, we don't get a lot more information here. We have Westpac consumer sentiment. That's been rising the last few months and will almost certainly rise again for the month of August. In July, it was up by 0.6%. And just across the ditch, you've got the Reserve Bank of New Zealand. They meet middle of the week, and they're at 3.25%. Looks as if they come down to 3. Much weaker economy than here, though. So there's reason why, you know, that they can still bring interest rates down there. Then to Europe, And last week, we had the ZEW Economic Sentiment Survey. It was slightly softer than expected, 25.1 from 36.1. So a little bit of softening running through there. We had revised Q2 GDP. There's no real revision, so it was up 0.1%, 1.4% year-on-year, and that's not too bad by European standards. This week in Europe, we've got some trade data and some preliminary manufacturing services sector PMIs. The manufacturing and services sector PMIs just hovering around the 50 mark, a bit below for the manufacturing PMI and a bit above for the services sector PMI. So marching along. Of course, amongst other things this week, we've got geopolitics coming into this again. Obviously we've got a meeting between Vladimir Zelensky hopefully with a few European leaders to back him up as he goes into the lion's den with President Trump, who wants him to give away what he's already lost in the Ukraine in turn to get a peace deal. So there's a little bit of movement running from geopolitical factors, but if we're looking purely at the economic factors, they still tend to sustain this powerful move towards risk assets that we've seen over recent times. That hasn't really dissipated yet. There's nothing in the economic data which is at this stage going to say, look, recession's imminent. We need a big setback to run through that. We haven't got that running through these numbers as they stand at the moment.